Medical information obtained from our website or the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If your pet has or you suspect they might have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a health care provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of All Paws Pet Talk, this radio show, or their sponsors.
And now live in this studio, it's the All Paws Pet Talk call-in radio show with a valuable knowledge and expertise of our panel guests ready to take your calls. Listen for the phone number so you may call in live. Take it away, panel.
Deb Wolf, your host, and with me today once again is Skip. Welcome to the show, Skip.
Hi, Deb. How are you?
Well, I'm good. I've got a song in my heart, Skip, because I know I'm talking to you. So everybody who's interested in listening to what we're talking about as we talk about it, you should check out petcds.com. So, Skip, what will they find there when they go to petcds.com?
Well, we're just releasing our Christmas album for animal lovers,
ooh,
for pet lovers. Actually, it's called Bring an Animal Home for the Holidays. And
nice.
And it was, we actually wrote the title song, Bring an Animal Home for the Holidays, for shelters, you know, during the holidays.
Yeah, because, very nice.
And we, you know, and it basically tells people that, you know, when you go and adopt an animal, especially during the holidays, make sure you're going to keep it. Because people get all holidayed up and ready to go, and then after the holidays, sometimes they discover they really didn't want the animal or whatever the thing is. So that song deals
well,
with...
Well, yeah, you know what? I think sometimes people have the best of intentions, but you really shouldn't give somebody else a pet.
Right, because it's like a lifetime contract. And
you don't know their allergies, their schedule, their all kinds of other things, you know, their lease agreement. I mean, you can't just get someone a pet. And I see this happening a lot. Even if you've decided to get a pet and you're all in agreement and you know that it's a good time, still probably at the holidays, right when there's the chaos of guests and open doors and Christmas decorations and chocolate under the tree, it's probably not the time. So you can give a stuffed animal with a gift certificate that says good for a puppy or good for a kitten that we select together, you know, that kind of a thing. But you don't really want that actual puppy or kitten under the Christmas tree.
Probably not. And that was our inspiration. Actually, there was a big shelter in San Diego that had a Bring an Animal Home for the Holidays campaign. And we originally wrote it for that, but then it can be used, you know, as kind of the lyrics kind of tell you what to do. But also, this CD has probably the only Christmas song that was ever made for dogs.
What's that like?
It's called Squeaky Bark. Oh, no, I'm sorry. It's called We Wish You a Squeaky Christmas.
Oh,
and
no.
It's really goofy, but dogs like it. We wrote it for dogs.
Well, of course they would. You know, people are skeptical about this, but dogs don't know a lot of human language words. They only know a few. You know, the smartest dog maybe knows 300. Most of them know about 60. And so they're listening all the time. It's kind of like that Gary Larson cartoon. They're listening all the time, and they hear what we're saying is, you know, blah, 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 walk, blah, 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 good, blah, 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 park, right? And they hear all this stuff. So if you make music, like you do, with the words they're listening for, they actually tune in, don't they?
Yeah, it's the same as, you know, if you do country music, you have to have certain kind of instrumentation. You know, in general, country people, you know, don't listen to, say, didgeridoos, per se, or things like that.
Bagpipes.
Yeah. It's probably not going to work. It may, but it probably won't. So we craft all our music, you know, not all of it, but the dog-related music, you know, for things we think dogs will like. And we just took We Wish You a Merry Christmas and redid the lyrics, you know, for dogs and people. And, you know, dogs like squeaky toys, so we put squeaky toys in some of our songs. And they respond to it very well. So this is a very Christmassy song, but dogs like it. You know, dogs will come over and show their enthusiasm with the song. Now, it's also kind of a, it's probably the most eclectic Christmas album for animal lovers. I mean, there's a song called Tarantula's Christmas. There's another song called Jingle Fish. It's a Christmas song for fish or fish lovers. So it's kind of, it's a lot of fun album, and it's very, very Christmassy. It's like a great soundtrack for Christmas, and it's the whole album sounds like Christmas, but it's different Christmas. It's like a bizarro Christmas.
Skip, if somebody's listening and they've got dogs, they've got cats, or they've got someone they want to get a gift for, but maybe it's not Christmas, what can they do? What else have you got there?
Well, we have our album Songs to Make Dogs Happy, which we talked about before, but it's an album that we created with an animal communicator, and we actually had her test over 200 dogs as to, you know, what kind of content they liked lyrically, and we gave her a lot of music samples and had her play these music samples for the dogs, and based on what she said, the dog said, we created the album, and dogs love it. All the songs are made for dogs, and since we put it out, we found out that we've gotten hundreds and hundreds of emails and testimonials from people, which really surprised us, but, you know, saying that it helps dogs that are afraid of thunder. It, you know,
really?
Yeah. And vets have called us and said that it helps dogs in recovering from illnesses. Shelters use it all over the country. Shelters love it. They play it in their shelters because it calms down the, for lack of a better term, inmates, you know.
Residents, yeah.
Yes, residents.
You know what?
Yeah.
They're trying to get out of there, and the people there make it as nice as they possibly can. But
right. And
if you feel guilty when you drive by a shelter, if you feel like there's sad animals in there, then you should go in there with your extra blankets and your bedding and your dog food and your cat food and your rubber gloves and be willing to volunteer and clean something or walk a dog or play with a cat, and then you won't feel guilty anymore. You'll feel good every time you drive by there, and maybe
exactly.
The dog or cat you played with will get a new home. So, okay, Skip, we only have about a minute left. It's petcds.com. What do you want people to know?
And we have, of course, we have a CD called Catatonic for cat lovers, and we also have a CD called I'm a Green Chicken, and it's for bird lovers. And we recorded and signed a parrot to our label named Carla, who is singing the chorus on the lead song, which is I'm a Green Chicken. And if anybody wants to try out Songs to Make Dogs Happy, they can go to our website, petcds.com. There's sound samples, especially of a song called Squeaky Deaky, and they can bring their dog up to the computer, and they can play it for them and watch what happens.
Squeaky Deaky. Well, I think
squeaky
that
deaky.
One gets played during my show. I think they've heard that Squeaky Deaky.
Mm-hmm,
does it go, I'm your doggy, I'm your doggy. Is that the one?
No, that's I'm your doggy.
Oh, that's I'm your doggy. Okay, every time I hear that, I think of some kind of weird dress-up adult game.
Whoa.
But that's just me. I should think that way. I should think about little doggies saying, I'm your doggy. Take me for a walk. I'm your doggy.
Take me home.
For
the shelter. Yeah.
Okay. Well, thanks again, Skip. And everybody check out his website.
PetCDs.com.
Thank you very much. Stay tuned, everybody. We'll be back in a bit with some bicycle information. Stay tuned on All Paws Pet Talk.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike Toe Leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
Our dogs are part of our family, an integral part of our lives, providing comfort, exercise, and companionship. All too often, however, this relationship is tested through dog naughtiness and general poor behavior. Our dog does not come when cold. He digs the garden and many other issues that create frustration and a break in the relationship we seek. You love him, but you don't like him. Today's e-callers remote trainers have been developed to help you train your dog and overcome these issues that can result in separation from the family and worse. E-collar technology has been developed to help the everyday dog owner. Collars that set limit on the levels of stimulation and therefore limiting mistakes. If you seek a training aid that will assist you overcome the unwanted issues, e-collar technology products have developed dog training technology for the modern world that uses the lowest levels of distractive stimulus to improve behavior and reduce stress. www.ecollar.com. That's www.ecollar.com.
I'm your doggy,
I'm your doggy,
and I love you,
and I love you,
and you know that
you
know I really do.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo healthy.
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial, no sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat-treated to help retain all the natural, rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time at 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044. And tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com. Order code 3395. Put your pet on the path to good health.
Does your dog have muddy, dirty paws? Well, here's your answer. The Paw Wash cleans dog's paws fast and easy. Just insert your dog's paw and leg into the device and pump up and down. The Paw Wash's unique hourglass design creates a suction of power that pulls that dirt, mud, sand, or salt off the paw and leg, and it stays in the device. You can clean all four paws in a little over a minute with just one fill. For retail or online sales, go to www.thepawwash.com. That's www.thepawwash.com.
Hello, you're listening to Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio, and I'm back with Dr. Carol, so it must be Smart Animal Talk, because Dr. Carol's smart. Welcome to the show, Dr. Carol.
Well, thank you, Deborah. I'm delighted to join you.
Don't you just love it when someone uses your services, your time, your expertise, your staff, your clinic, medicines, drugs, and then they get the bill, and they say, if you loved animals, you wouldn't charge me this much. Don't you just love that one? I'm just wondering, have you heard that one this week?
Well, I heard it just now, and I'm hearing you loud and clear.
Yeah, like it's your job to work for free and have all the people who work for you work for free and have your place rented for free and all the drugs and materials supplied for free because they like to play bingo or something. That's how I think about it. What do you think?
Well, I hear what you're saying, and sometimes, you know, you just have to swallow it and just try to find the bright side of everything and keep your day and your clients and your pets and everything moving along as happily and unstressfully as possible.
You know, I don't get that anymore. I'm remembering that back from when I worked for a vet, and that used to be the argument. The people would, you know, have many, many pets and not do the preventative care, not do the regular care. Then they'd get into a bind with one of them where it really was costing them a lot, and they'd right away kind of lash out at the vet, accuse him of being unkind, which I found really odd, and it always disturbed the vet. It's, the vet just didn't seem to be able to let that one bounce off him, you know, because I guess most of you go in it for the love of animals, so the last thing you want is to be told you don't love animals.
Exactly. That's exactly right. And, you know, I think even, you know, as I'm a vet and I've been a vet for many years, you know, it's kind of like with an animal. When you and I don't feel well, you tend to be a little more quiet and maybe a little bit grumbly, and you tend to lose your niceness. When pets don't feel well, the way that they show that to us often is in that behavioral change. You know, they might snip, they might nip. You know, if a cat, she might claw you or reach out to give you a little nibble. It's the way that they relate to people to tell them that they're not quite up to par. So it's just another sign that knowing your pet and knowing what's normal is so important, because it's only then that we can address what's abnormal or recognize as a pet owner what is abnormal. And being able to recognize what's abnormal because you know normal allows you to seek out, you know, your veterinarian and address that situation and get your pet back to normal as quickly as possible. So when an animal nips or bites, it's not always because they're nasty or aggressive. Sometimes it's because they don't feel well, and it's an external expression of an internal problem.
Oh, a lot of times I think it's pain. The dog or cat has pain in some area, and somebody's just exactly hit that area with touch or rubbing or scratching or bumping into them or pushing them or something that just hurt. And probably the pet wasn't even ready for it. It's almost a surprise reaction. So, yeah, you definitely need to check that out. But I do agree with you that in a lot of cases, I think people don't take the time to feel their animals, and I mean feel with your fingers from head to toe, really get under there and feel their whole coat, not just the place they love to be pet behind the ears, but their whole body, so that when someone says to you, hey, is that growth there, has it been there for a long time? You don't say, what growth? What do you mean? Because really, you should know. You should know the lumps and the bumps on your dog or cat, right?
That's exactly right. You know, and that pertains to really simple things. For example, how many of our pet-loving listeners have actually listened to their pet's heart rate so that that they would be able to detect and monitor normal from an abnormal heart rate? Or for that matter, how many of our pet-loving listeners are able to take their pet's temperature, know what it is, and know what are the ranges to look out for? You know, what are the danger zones? And that's something, again, that we're often squeamish about doing, but these kinds of things are easy. If you have a glass thermometer, or even if you want to buy a digital one, it's okay either way. You want to put the thermometer in contact, if you're doing it rectally, with the rectal wall, with a little pressure to one side or the other. Don't just let it float in the middle, for about 60 seconds to get a normal rectal temperature, which normally, and anything from about 99 to 103 is fine. When do we get worried? Deb, as you well know, temperatures below 96 at above 105 degrees or above are theoretically incompatible with life. And what that means is if that happens, boom, you need to see your vet kind of ASAP. So
And you got to know. You got to know what's normal. That's the main gist of that, because, you know, some people, they'll panic, especially when a pet is sent somewhere. You know, we'll get a dog or a cat in, we'll get a dog in here at Camp Good Dog, or people will be taking care of a cat or a dog when the owners are away. You gotta tell them everything. I've had some really interesting situations, and sometimes I had one dog check in, and the people said, can you help us with his training? He just doesn't listen at all anymore. Well, the dog was deaf. No wonder he wasn't listening at all anymore. Oh my God, poor Angus was getting this bad rap, this Springer Spaniel, for not listening, right? Being a bit of a stubborn jerk in his old age. And the owner even said, he pretends to be deaf. No, 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 he doesn't pretend to be deaf. The dog went deaf and they didn't, you know, sort of figure it out. So you gotta keep up on that, right? You gotta notice stuff like that. Turns out old Angus, all he needed was to learn visual signs. It was really, really easy. I put a long leash on him, so I got him to look at me every so often, regularly, over and over and over, and I'd give him a signal, and he retrained very quickly because he always wanted to please. He just had no idea when you were calling him, you know? And so I think a lot of times we lose track of things like that. We'll say, oh, he's lazy. No, he can't hear you, right? Takes a pair of fresh eyes sometimes.
Yeah, and that's a great point. You know, that's one of the big things with Dalmatians, which along with Cocker Spaniels, you know, are listed as two of the top breeds that bite kids in your living room, but you least suspect it. And with Dalmatians and other animals that may have white skin with blue eyes, a lot of these animals do have hearing issues. Deafness is very, very, very big in the Dalmatian breed. And Deb, they were euthanizing, or the Dalmatian Club of America apparently was recommending immediate euthanasia of any and all Dalmatian puppies that were born deaf because they felt that these puppies were aggressive and untrainable.
Oh, and that's so not true.
Exactly.
But they shouldn't be bred. They should be unbreedable. And unfortunately, people go for blue eyes so much that they get these recessive dogs in higher numbers than they ought to, right?
And you know that's exactly right. So while they've changed those recommendations and they've realized that with patience, consistency, love, and really good training, even a deaf Dalmatian can be a wonderful dog.
But Dalmatians used to protect the fire trucks with all their equipment. They used to have to run under the horses. And there's still an event out there. I don't know if you've ever seen this, Dr. Carol, where it's a horse, usually a woman, but a horse, a rider, and a dog. And the three have to complete a course. The dog has to be in certain places at certain times. The horse has to jump certain things. The dog has to be under the horse and never ahead. And it's amazing.
Well, you know, that's pretty fun. Right here, I'm in the Cleveland, Ohio area. And we've got a great big national horse show every summer. And basically one of the events that people seem to really like is we have a class with dogs and horses, and these are hunters and jumpers that go over fences.
Oh, nice.
And basically the dogs are jumping a course next to the horses.
Ooh, Dr.
But the
Carol.
Fences are just a lot littler.
Okay. Listen, everybody, we'll be back to talk more about this in a second on Smart Animal Talk, All Past Pet Talk Radio.
I'm your doggy.
I'm your doggy.
And I love you.
As a dog owner, you know that dogs can eat just about anything. But when food becomes a health troublemaker, or your animal has been on antibiotics or heavy meds, or GI issues set in, your animal's gut may be out of balance and needs Goo Gut Rescue. Goo Gut Rescue is 100% natural and veterinarian prebiotic and probiotic formulated to rescue your animal's gut from bad bug dominance. Remember, your dog's total health begins with gut health. Don't delay. Visit GooGutRescue.com.
Our dogs are part of our family, an integral part of our lives, providing comfort, exercise, and companionship. All too often, however, this relationship is tested through dog naughtiness and general poor behavior. Our dog does not come when called, digs the garden, and many other issues that create frustration and a break in the relationship we seek. You love him, but you don't like him. Today's e-callers remote trainers have been developed to help you train your dog and overcome these issues that can result in separation from the family and worse. E-collar technology has been developed to help the everyday dog owner. Collars that set limit on the levels of stimulation and therefore limiting mistakes. If you seek a training aid that will assist you overcome the unwanted issues, e-collar technology products have developed dog training technology for the modern world that uses the lowest levels of distractive stimulus to improve behavior and reduce stress. www.ecollar.com. That's www.ecollar.com.
Attention all pet lovers! Do you love your furry pet? Well, I want to introduce to you Paws and Silk, the first all-natural silk-filled pet bedding and apparel line that helps improve your pet's overall health and wellness. Pazin Silk is made using luxurious long-stranded silk and all-natural breathable cotton. Each product will help keep your pet cool and comfortable all year long. Pazin Silk pet beds and coats will also work as a barrier against dust, mites, and other allergens. Not only are they fashionable, but they also don't take on your pet's odor. Better yet, they're even machine washable. So, folks, here's what I want you to do. Visit Pazin Silk website at pazinsilk.com to learn more about Pazin Silk and their incredible products. That's PAWSNSILK.com. You can buy directly from the site, and they even ship all over North America. How easy is that? For more information, go to pazinsilk.com or call their toll-free number, 877-678-7455.
Hello, you're listening to Smart Animal Talk on All Pet Talk Radio, and I'm back with Dr. Carol, so it must be Smart Animal Talk, because Dr. Carol's smart. Welcome to the show, Dr. Carol.
Well, thank you, Deborah. I'm delighted to join you.
Don't you just love it when someone uses your services, your time, your expertise, your staff, your clinic, medicines, drugs, and then they get the bill, and they say, if you loved animals, you wouldn't charge me this much. Don't you just love that one? I'm just wondering, have you heard that one this week?
Well, I heard it just now, and I'm hearing you loud and clear.
Yeah, like it's your job to work for free and have all the people who work for you work for free and have your place rented for free and all the drugs and materials supplied for free because they like to play bingo or something. That's how I think about it. What do you think?
Well, I hear what you're saying, and sometimes, you know, you just have to swallow it and just try to find the bright side of everything and keep your day and your clients and your pets and everything moving along as happily and unstressfully as possible.
You know, I don't get that anymore. I'm remembering that back from when I worked for a vet, and that used to be the argument. But people would, you know, have many, many pets and not do the preventative care, not do the regular care. Then they'd get into a bind with one of them where it really was costing them a lot, and they'd right away kind of lash out at the vet, accuse him of being unkind, which I found really odd, and it always disturbed the vet. The vet just didn't seem to be able to let that one bounce off him, you know, because I guess most of you go in it for the love of animals, so the last thing you want is to be told you don't love animals.
Exactly. That's exactly right. And, you know, I think even, you know, as I'm a vet, and I've been a vet for many years, you know, it's kind of like with an animal. When you and I don't feel well, you tend to be a little more quiet and maybe a little bit grumbly, and you tend to lose your niceness. When pets don't feel well, the way that they show that to us often is in that behavioral change. You know, they might snip, they might nip. You know, if a cat, she might claw you or reach out to give you a little nibble. It's the way that they relate to people to tell them that they're not quite up to par. So it's just another sign that knowing your pet and knowing what's normal is so important, because it's only then that we can address what's abnormal or recognize as a pet owner what is abnormal. And being able to recognize what's abnormal because you know normal allows you to seek out, you know, your veterinarian and address that situation and get your pet back to normal as quickly as possible. So when an animal nips or bites, it's not always because they're nasty or aggressive. Sometimes it's because they don't feel well, and it's an external expression of an internal problem.
Oh, a lot of times I think it's pain. The dog or cat has pain in some area, and somebody's just exactly hit that area with touch or rubbing or scratching or bumping into them or pushing them or something that just hurt, and probably the pet wasn't even ready for it. It's almost a surprise reaction. So yeah, you definitely need to check that out. But I do agree with you that in a lot of cases, I think people don't take the time to feel their animals, and I mean feel with your fingers from head to toe, really get under there and feel their whole coat. Not just the place they love to be pet behind the ears, but their whole body. So that when someone says to you, hey, is that That growth there, has it been there for a long time? You don't say, what growth? What do you mean? Because really, you should know. You should know the lumps and the bumps on your dog or cat, right?
That's exactly right. And that pertains to really simple things. For example, how many of our pet loving listeners have actually listened to their pet's heart rate so that that they would be able to detect and monitor normal from an abnormal heart rate? Or for that matter, how many of our pet loving listeners are able to take their pen's temperature, know what it is, and know what are the ranges to look out for? You know, what are the danger zones? And that's something, again, that we're often squeamish about doing. But these kinds of things are easy. If you have a glass thermometer, or even if you want to buy a digital one, it's okay either way. You want to put the thermometer in contact, if you're doing it rectally, with the rectal wall, with a little pressure to one side or the other. Don't just let it float in the middle for about 60 seconds to get a normal rectal temperature, which normally and anything from about 99 to 103 is fine. When do we get worried? Deb, as you well know, temperatures below 96 at above 105 degrees or above are theoretically incompatible with life. And what that means is if that happens, boom, you need to see your vet kind of ASAP. So those are just...
And you got to know. You got to know what's normal. That's the main gist of that. Because, you know, some people, they'll panic, especially when a pet is sent somewhere. You know, we'll get a dog or a cat in, we'll get a dog in here at Camp Good Dog, or people will be taking care of a cat or a dog when the owners are away. You gotta tell them everything. I've had some really interesting situations. And sometimes I had one dog check in and the people said, can you help us with his training? He just doesn't listen at all anymore. Well, the dog was deaf. No wonder he wasn't listening at all anymore. Oh my God, poor Angus was getting this bad rap, this Springer Spaniel, for not listening, right? Being a bit of a stubborn jerk in his old age. And the owner even said, he pretends to be deaf. No, 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 he doesn't pretend to be deaf. The dog went deaf and they didn't, you know, sort of figure it out. So you got to keep up on that, right? You got to notice stuff like that. Turns out old Angus, all he needed was to learn visual signs. It was really, really easy. I put a long leash on him. So I got him to look at me every so often, regularly, over and over and over. And I'd give him a signal. And he retrained very quickly because he always wanted to please. He just had no idea when you were calling him, you know? And so I think a lot of times we lose track of things like that. We'll say, oh, he's lazy. No, he can't hear you, right? Takes a pair of fresh eyes sometimes.
Yeah, and that's a great point. You know, that's one of the big things with Dalmatians, which along with Cocker Spaniels, you know, are listed as two of the top breeds that bite kids in your living room, but you least suspect it. And with Dalmatians and other animals that may have white skin with blue eyes, a lot of these animals do have hearing issues. Deafness is very, very, very big in the Dalmatian breed. And Deb, they were euthanizing, or the Dalmatian Club of America apparently was recommending immediate euthanasia of any and all Dalmatian puppies that were born deaf because they felt that these puppies were aggressive and untrainable.
Oh, and that's so not true.
Exactly.
But they shouldn't be bred. They should be unbreedable. And unfortunately, people go for blue eyes so much that they get these recessive dogs in higher numbers than they ought to, right?
And you know that's exactly right. So while they've changed those recommendations and they've realized that with patience, consistency, love, and really good training, even a deaf Dalmatian can be a wonderful dog.
But Dalmatians used to protect the fire trucks with all their equipment. They used to have to run under the horses. And there's still an event out there. I don't know if you've ever seen this, Dr. Carol, where it's a horse, usually a woman, but a horse, a rider, and a dog. And the three have to complete a course. The dog has to be in certain places at certain times. The horse has to jump certain things. The dog has to be under the horse and never ahead. And it's amazing.
Well, you know, that's pretty fun. Right here, I'm in the Cleveland, Ohio area. And we've got a great big national horse show every summer. And basically one of the events that people seem to really like is we have a class with dogs and horses, and these are hunters and jumpers that go over fences.
Oh, nice.
And basically the dogs are jumping a course next to the horses.
Ooh,
but the fences are just a lot littler.
Okay. Listen, everybody, we'll be back to talk more about this in a second on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
I'm your doggy.
I'm your doggy.
And I love you.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike Toe Leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
Treat your furry best friend with a clear conscience. Clear Conscience Pet, that is. Everything made by this family-owned company is artisan crafted in the USA. From family-farmed ingredient sources, holistically formulated for your pet's best health. And just plain delicious. Their treats, chews, and the amazing super gravy food topper for dogs and cats are simply the best you can buy. And the company has won 5 National Nutrition Awards to prove it. Now, Clear Conscience Pet is launching the Sliders brand, a true breakthrough in meaty treats featuring the purest tender meat treat ever made. No grain, no gluten, no glycerin or other chemicals found in typical moist treats. Sliders are pub fun snacks made from lean meats nutritionally optimized with omega-rich organic flax and veggies. Enter the offer code RADIO at checkout and save 20% at clearconsciencepet.com. Your pets will love you for it.
Is your dog a finicky eater due to health problems, old age, or just fussiness? Super Gravy by Clear Conscience Pet will boost your pet's appetite and nutrition for less than 40 cents a day. If you are adding expensive canned food to kibble to get your pet to eat, Super Gravy is the earth-friendly alternative with no can waste and for less than half the cost. Visit supergravy.com for more info and bring pure joy back to your companion's mealtime. Now through Labor Day, save 20% on Super Gravy and all Clear Conscience Pet treats at Pet Food Warehouse in South Burlington and Shelburne.
I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food. I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food.
Hello, we're coming back on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio, and Dr. Carol was telling us about a big horse show with people and dogs, all kinds of stuff going on near Cleveland, and also something about arsenic in chickens. Dr. Carol, what are you talking about now?
Well, the FDA just came out with a nice little news alert, and I think most of us are familiar with the arsenic in the hull of the rice, which has caused many people to stop eating rice as well as feeding it to their pets. But just a few days ago, they came out with a warning about the arsenic content in the chickens. That's in the human chickens, not the Chinese chickens that they send over here for pet food. Okay. Noting that the arsenic is carcinogenic or cancer-causing. It's been found in alarming levels in our chickens because apparently they add arsenic to the chicken feed, or it's part of the chicken food. And then apparently some of the deceased chickens, this sounds pretty bad, end up in our as food for our beef or cattle, meaning that that same arsenic is also now going into the beef chain. And
okay, that's particularly appalling because you're talking about a vegetarian animal eating meat somehow made palatable or tempting to it. And so they get tricked into eating this thing they ought not to ever eat. And that just seems wrong.
Well, it is wrong, and it's the food chain, quite honestly, needs to be reconstructed and reworked at this point. I feel that that's a very relevant note for the human and the pet food chain. The pet food chain, I think, as we have all learned recently, these pet foods, the chicken, the turkey, the poultry, etc., it's coming from China. Whether it's packaged in America or China, that doesn't change anything to the fact that with respect to the jerky treats and now this arsenic issue, you have to be so careful about what you feed your pet, about what you read, and about what you believe from what you read, because there's a lot of misinformation out there. And unfortunately, there are a lot of foods, human and pet, that really are not edible. And for those of you that might be a little, you know, sort of wary about the other FDA alert, as well as the AVMA, the American Veterinary Medical Association, set an alert out about the risks of feeding raw pet food. And you know, they highlight Salmonella and E. coli, the two bacteria we're very familiar with in just about every pet food recall out there. And another one called Listeriosis.
Now, isn't that from dirty water? Isn't that something you worry about with stagnant water on a farm, that last one, where the animals,
The Listeria might be in bad water. I'd have to check that. Not positive on that. Mm-hmm. But Listeria is a serious bacteria that can cause central nervous system disorders. Have I ever seen it in a dog? Certainly not. You know, my point was that because, as of this date, November the 14th, 2013, there are no measures set into place for any type of inspection of any pet food, any pet ingredient. Not only that, manufacturers don't even have to disclose where a certain ingredient was sourced from or derived from. So when you read these notices about watch out for the raw food, mm-hmm. I have to really take that with a grain of salt. I think that those risks are there and are very real in all raw food, whether it's sushi for people or raw food for pets. But looking at the horrible, the huge string of recalls and of all these pets dying from the Chinese chicken jerky treats, you know, I think the bottom line is when you feed your pet, you need to know what you're feeding, double check things, and use good common sense.
You know, there's a YouTube video people are looking at right now. Mercy for Animals is what you need to click on. And this kind of ties in with all the issues about farm-raised animals. And, you know, if something is crowded, if it's never allowed to stretch, walk, turn around, if it's never allowed anything it would have in nature, if its diet is completely artificial, if it doesn't see sunlight, isn't it a stressed-out, polluted, basically, meat that you end up eating? And how can we make the alternatives more plentiful and cheaper is really the question.
Well, that's a good question. And I don't have all the answers. I think that that's something that the government needs to really just kind of get figured out. You know, the bottom line is making human foods for pets offers real food with complete nutrition that they can actually digest, absorb, and utilize. Cost-wise,
and you have more control. That's the other thing, right? You have total control. You know, I wanted to ask you, we do have a question from a listener. They had been fostering a cat, and the cat left. It was a female cat, a gray cat, and they are now fostering a new cat, and they're wondering, is it possible that the resident cats do not know the difference? Because the cat that left and the cat that came, although completely different, unrelated, look the same. And I thought, no, I doubt it. I think they know it's a different cat. What do you think?
Do I think that the other cats know that it's a different cat?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, 150%.
Absolutely. Yeah, it may confuse them that the two cats look the same, but I don't think it's confusing any cat in the house. Now, they say that they've always had a harder time with foster cats, and this one, you know, got in really easy. Everybody seems to be accepting it so quickly. Is it because they think it's the same as the last one? And the answer there, especially since, now get this, the old cat was a male, the new cat's a female. There's no way they're going to make that mistake, right?
No, and animals are so very smart, and their sense of smell, as well as their fifth sense, is so far better developed than ours. They don't need visualization to know who's around. That's all taken care of by the sniffer. So believe me.
Yeah, and they won't think, oh, he went to bed a boy and he woke up a girl. They're not going to think that.
No, absolutely not. They know that it's a new cat, and they obviously are charmed by the kitty's appearance, and that's a wonderful thing. It's just like people. Some people immediately get along, and other people just never do. So animals are no different. They have their own system of socialization, and it works pretty darn well.
Well, lately there have been quite a few attacks by cougars here in British Columbia on Vancouver Island and places like that. And the facts that are coming out about cougars are quite astounding. And I know some people in my audience would be interested in hearing this, but they can swim 6.5 miles, no problem. Like, no problem. They're awesome swimmers, and that's why Vancouver Island has so many of them. They like deer, so that's a good thing, but they've put some GPS tracking devices on some of these wild cougars, the conservation authorities have, to try and figure out where they're going. And they found some alarming things, like they visit garages, backyards, schoolyards, and they've even gone in doggy doors and been in people's homes without them knowing it. This is a mountain lion we're talking about. Scary stuff, hey, Dr. Carroll?
Well, you know, it is scary. Why do you think that those things are occurring?
Well, I think people are moving closer is mostly the thing, you know, and they're curious, they're smart, they're capable, they're fearless. I don't know. But so far, people have been safe this year.
So, yeah, I mean, the bottom line is, you know, we've destroyed most of the area in which they live, so they keep coming closer and closer to our habitat. Because
Dr. Carroll, we've run out of time. You've got to give your contact numbers. We're going to have to talk cougars next time, and I'm talking the feline kind. Okay, so for now, if you want to hear more from Dr. Carroll.
It's for me. And remember, that lady, this was in the U.S., went into the cougar cage by herself. Anyway, the cougar had her for dinner, so that's not a good move. But for you dog and cat lovers out there, I'm Dr. Carroll Osborne, veterinarian from the Chagrin Falls, Ohio area. We welcome phone calls. We offer pet health consultations and answer pet health questions for dogs and cats. Our toll-free phone is 1-866-DR-CARROLL, and that's 866-372-2765. You can also visit us online at carolonpets.com.
And you can send me your questions, training questions, behavioral questions, medical questions, whatever it is. We'll answer it on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Until next week, be good to your animals. And anytime.